Informal Discussions with the Jan Suchin in Bangkok, January 2023. Recorded by the Foundation and Tambak. Edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Alberto, Sarah, Hang, John, Mai, and Tam.
Oh, wanting. To gain such and such understanding. It has to be that actually the reality of no one and no thing has to be firmer and firmer. Because what is there now? Only right understanding can understand the truth. See? What is there now? Only right understanding can understand the truth. But not at the beginning or intellect understanding only. But there can be understanding of more than just a moment of touching and what is there. The word is there, but the reality is not the word. But there can be moment of thinking about that. But understanding has to see the difference between thinking and seeing. It has to be developed on and on and on and on with the understanding of no one and no thing, only by conditions. This is the most difficult.
Beginning is so little at the beginning, which it's very hard even to notice.
It's better than try very hard with the idea of self and gain that humiliation.
Yeah, and then the self comes in straight away.
Otherwise, it's not understanding the path leading to understand clearly. Not I understand, but understanding begins to see a little more of this, a little more of that.
When there's any thought of noticing or not noticing, then I comes in again and again.
Yes,
so it's gone, it's gone, it's unimportant, it's gone. It doesn't matter whether there's noticing or not, but it's gone.
It's gone.
Otherwise,
without
as soon as there's any idea, just a little bit of noticing, it's not the right way again.
And with our conditions, how can there be awareness of whatever is there appearing now with understanding? Impossible to have it suddenly or not by conditions. But now the understanding develops gradually. Jira, kala, bhavana. It conforms with each word of the Buddha. Can the breath appear now? Can, what does it mean? Can. See, by conditions. No wish at all. That's why our dhammas appear as conditioned moment. To let go of the idea of self very gradually. With our desire, a little more. All the way is to let go. The very tight bound of self. To whatever is there. Five khandhas. And how many khandha now? Known. Not enough of sanya, see, it's there. Vedana is there. Sankhara is there. Just learn to understand the truth of it, little by little, and that's the only way to gradually letting go the clinging and ignorance of the truth. It's gone so rapidly, no expectation for which one can be the object of understanding. Eons and eons ago, why it's so difficult to understand that which now arises and falls away, and nothing there. Otherwise, it doesn't show up as it arises and falls away when there are other things appearing together.
When it's only once, it's the real thing.
But you see that right understanding at level of the regular experience in the truth is not as many, many moments in life. Otherwise, wishing secretly is there again. So Panya understands the First Noble Truth and the Second Noble Truth and the path. The result can be in this life or other lives, who knows? But it's so true.
And the moment of letting go, just that moment, just hearing the words letting go, it helps to actually let go of the clinging to it. We need to hear that because...
And moment of intention to have such and such moment. Is it understanding? See? Not understanding. So understanding has to be keener and sharper to let go, just to let go. Ignorance and wrong understanding, which is there all the time, moment of memory, moment of feeling, moment of thinking, all there in life.
The self would never think about letting go anything. The self would just try to do whatever.
But right understanding, understand what moment is, that is not self, see? It's a characteristic of a reality. Never arise again, no matter what is it. The moment of trying, or the moment of thinking, wishing.
We say that the moment of thinking and wishing is the self coming in, but that's another story, isn't it? Because there only can be an idea of self. There is no self. So to attribute those agusala tendencies to a self is just proliferating. So they're just realities too. The thing is that whatever does appear, even if it's the idea coming in of the self directing things or whatever, it doesn't matter whether it's wrong view or agusala or what, because the important thing is just the understanding of anything that appears at the present moment. And I think it's inevitable that if there is an interest in the Buddha's teaching and one reflects on it from time to time, out of interest, not as a deliberate thing to do, there is bound to be, over time, a better appreciation of different aspects of the teaching. For one person, it might be the conditioned nature of how these things pop up. For another person, it might be how one doorway is so different from another. So there's any number of different aspects of the Dhamma that come to be better appreciated over time, even if it's not what we think of as being strong awareness of individual realities.
Ajahn was just saying no wish, otherwise it hinders immediately any kind of wishing, any kind of hoping or expectation.
And only the a little higher developed of Panya can understand that what were there before had to be understood. And if it's not only that level, not higher than that.
Panya is to understand all... can you say it again, please?
Different degrees of understanding.
Right.
While it's not yet the higher degree, it cannot be able to perform its function. But when it's now, it's moment of developing. Until the result, the moment that is conditioned by the development, condition such moment on and on and on, deeper and deeper, to let go. So it's not anyone who can do, because the idea of self or I of thing are hindrance.
It's also beginning to understand the paramis, that the patience that you always often mention. Patience and also the virya, the determination.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when Panya develops, no idea about whether in this life or any life, my conditions. Otherwise, the I wishing, clinging, hiding. So the path with only understanding can let go ignorance and attachment. The second noble truth, it has to be let go. So natural.
I've just got a question here I might bring up. We talk a lot about Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, Bhavana Maya Panya, but I was writing about it for one of my Zoom jottings and trying to find a suitable quote, but it's very difficult to find a suitable quote. Usually they refer to Chinta Maya Panya first, that's all right. But then it says, for example, in the Vasudhimagga, something like, what is understanding consisting in what is reasoned? This is for Chinta Maya Panya. In the spheres of work invented by ingenuity, or in the spheres of craft, or in the sorts of science invented by ingenuity. And none of it seems to be about the wise considering of reality, because they give all these examples of science and work and thinking about it. Do you have any comment, or do you know where there is a good reference about Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya?
Please say it again.
Yep.
And stop, so right. We can clarify that.
Okay. This is from the Vasudhimagga, and it's chapter 14, so it's about the development of the path. And this is said, herein, what is understanding consisting in what is reasoned? So this is under Chinta Maya Panya.
Okay, just this. So at moment of hearing, it's moment of manasikara, of the word heard, and consider wisely. And panya is the understanding. That is suttamaya panya.
Yes.
And in a day, not just only that, it can condition moment of consider it again,
yes,
when there's no hearing. But when it talked about suttamaya panya, is only the Buddha's. What does it mean? Higher level than anyone else at all. But for anyone without chintamaya panya, akusala is there.
Of course.
That's why it needs panya at that level, not as that only for Buddha.
Right.
So we have to understand
the careful reasoning,
yeah,
and considering. Why does it then go on to say, in the spheres of work invented by ingenuity, or in the spheres of craft, or in the sorts of science invented by ingenuity? Why does it talk about these examples? I think examples of the field of carpentry or agriculture, and thinks about,
because it's daily life for those carpenters.
Yes.
So
it's talking about what is carefully reasoned and understood, mm-hmm, while performing one's work in,
right,
science or in the field,
right,
or
mm-hmm,
any time, mm-hmm, any place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone.
Yes. And then it goes on, there's another point. Preference, view, choice, opinion, judgment, liking for pondering over things that concerns ownership of deeds, karma, or is conformity with truth, or is of such kind as to conform with the axioms, materiality is impermanent, and so on. So it all refers to,
right,
the wise considering,
mm-hmm,
of different dharmas. Yes, the first part was the part that was in that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, people read it the way it sounds, is like this kind of reasoning is,
mm-hmm,
Chinta Maya Panya,
yeah,
but it just shows daily life anywhere, anytime. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's helpful. Thank you. And this is the same as in the Sangiti Sutta and its commentary, yes. So it's not easy to find good references.
Only so understanding.
Only understanding can know,
mm-hmm,
it, yes. And another topic which I actually thought about for the Vietnamese, because I was going to mention it, because they asked not long ago quite a lot of questions about right livelihood. And afterwards I came across a tape from a few years ago when we were talking about how livelihood is whatever concerns life and daily living. So really any kind of daily living is livelihood. And you gave the example of one may take certain food to live even if you don't like it. So I'm taking this just for living, and for health, even though I may not particularly like it. So it's livelihood and the moments of abstaining from harmful speech or deeds while taking medicine or anything related to daily living is right livelihood. So it's different from how people understand
just like
it,
Viriya and Kanti.
Yes.
See, you don't need anything to do to kill and to say wrong or lie. But you like to hunt.
Right.
It's just like a game.
Yes.
See, different level of samma.
Yes.
Kammanta.
Different levels by of abstaining.
Of Ashiva.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, different strength of effort involved and different strength.
Otherwise,
of
no
life.
Difference between just for living or by for pleasure.
Mm. So it's actually a very small difference, really.
Right.
It's not important at all whether it's for pleasure or for living. It's kusala is kusala, kusala is akusala. But just the what is right livelihood actually is just concerning for living, like eating one's lunch or washing one's feet, just for living. That's why it doesn't matter whether one's a monk or a layperson or even an insect, it's just for living.
And any question?
John, I was just thinking about what hunting for pleasure, hunting for living. Which one is would be less blameable in a sense? Which would be less less consequence in the future? The hunting with for living or the hunting for pleasure?
Different.
I think so. Yeah.
Different virati. We call it virati, but in truth, it's for pleasure. That's why many words for different levels of lobha, see? Why that not just one? For example, kamasava includes what? And kamupatan include or excludes?
Includes kamupadana.
Kamupatan, clinging to.
Includes clinging to existing, to being.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't understand, Ajahn, what you said earlier about virati. Could you repeat that?
It's different level, different. For example, when there is only asava, is it not attachment? It is, but not at level of nivarana.
Right.
Otherwise, why did we use the different word? So, virati is the same. You lie for pleasure or for living.
So there can be restraint, right livelihood, when there's abstaining from harming through speech or deeds concerning daily living, or there can be the restraint concerning speech or deeds which is not concerned with living, which is just for pleasure, like just killing for pleasure, for example. So it's a different virity, that's all. And both have different degrees too.
Yeah, I think I already asked this question some time ago about the animals killing for living, the animals killing for eating.
Are we thinking too much?
Yeah, sorry.
Not understanding what is there.
No, definitely not. I confirm.
Principle that when it's the killing or the harming for one's living or way of living, it's different from when it's just for pleasure, and so that's all.
At that very moment, like moment of asava, it cannot be the same as nivarana. So even it has the same characteristic, different level. by its characteristic, not by we use the word.
I can remember one point that when there's attachment to something, there must be the wrong view of being an object.
The same similar question about the different levels of clinging to something because of the value we attach to the thing we cling. It's the same sort of question, different levels of clinging, because we don't cling so much to something which is not as much. We cling more to what we think it's more, it's worth more. Depends on the different levels of clinging. Depends also on the object of clinging, and it depends on the person. Different person has different objects of clinging.
Think that it's the same as chanda. It can be itipata or not itipata, but it's chanda. So we use the word chantitipata when it's chantitipata for enlightenment, realizing the truth. But when it's ordinary chanda to cook, to whatever, it's not itipata.
I think that Alberto's point, and this may be oversimplifying it, is that when there's understanding that in truth there's no tissue box, that it's just visible object, just hardness there, nothing in reality, that there is less clinging to that object. Whereas we were discussing how even a Sotapanna, and that was how the example of the Sakadagami and Sumana came up, there can still be very, very strong attachment. Even one knows it's in reality there's no tissue box, but one can still be very sad if someone throws it away, for example, because the accumulated attachment is still there, regardless of whether there's any wrong understanding or not. I think that was the point of the topic.
And when it's not the understanding of one reality at a time, it's still something. For example, what is seen, see, Tittasava, Avichasava, is there. 3 moments after seeing something, until it appears as just one, it lessen or let go the clinging to that as something. Little by little, until it shows up, it's not a box. It's not that shape. It's only that which is seen, especially appear also to mind, or to be more precise. What is experienced through the sense, though, pass on to mind, though, exactly the same. The first process.
There would be, could still be kamupadan for the object, but not in the case of having, in the case of sotapanna, there would be still clinging to it, but not as something, not as something lasting, not as, so, that's the difference between kamupadana and nitupadana.
As long as it does appear as it is, just one reality at a time, through mind. Because the mind follows the sense of instantly, how can it be known that it's different moment? Because it appears exactly the same as the replica of what is experienced. For example, right now, mind are in between, unknown.
So was everything we talk about is right now, and otherwise it's just theory and ideas.
What appears cannot be changed, but depending on panya only, how much understanding of the truth of now, from moment to moment, And sati has to be so natural when it's developed high enough to let go. Otherwise, it's not as natural.
Thinking, otherwise it's thinking and usual, as before, just as exactly as before hearing the teachings.
And that's why before it's there, it cannot be known. But when it's there, it's so clear. Because before it is as clear as that, it's not clear. So how that moment of appearing not clear to be just like when it's clear? No imagination, beyond imagination. Otherwise, it's so easy just to sit in meditation center and think that, oh, it arises and falls away. But no understanding what is there now. So can it be true?
About the ditthi, is related to the Umberto mentioned. Because we listen quite a lot about ditthi, but it's still unclear about some kind of ditthi, like no...
Oh, does it appear as it is? If not, can the ditthi be eradicated?
Nothing.
That is thinking about it. See? That's why to be truthful to the truth, how much understanding, at what level, is very important. Never enough until enlightenment.
If a certain kind of ditthi doesn't appear, is that a problem? Or do we have the idea that there should be the recognition of all different kinds of ditthi? Just like some people have the idea they should be seeing the very subtle akusala. But I think that's a slight misunderstanding, because it's not that there has to be certain objects that are seen and understood, but just whatever appears. And so as long as there is something appearing, that is the potential object of awareness and understanding, whether it's seeing an invisible object or thinking about the visible object, thinking what's been seen and heard, mostly what appears in a day's thinking. But is there awareness of the characteristic of thinking?
Now, but samasati is there on any reality right now, only by conditions. To see that what is there now and in the past and in the future, years and years ago and now and ahead, non-stop, nothing. Just like a dream. Tomorrow, today is a dream. Mm-hmm. Only with the idea of pleasant things, people.
We have dreams of when we'll meet next time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just thinking, who knows what will happen mm-hmm. each moment. Or...
That's why understanding what is meant by wake up. But still, it's not as the moment of enlightenment. Just begin to wake up until seeing the danger of moment of what is there arising and falling away. Better to have none, not anymore.
Different degrees. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. Only oneself can know one's own.
Or it can be apparent over time that there is a better understanding of the way things are generally, without maybe being able to pinpoint there's more understanding of this reality or that reality, but generally a better grasp of the way the world is at the present moment.
And you have accumulations to study a lot of the texts and the detail and the Pali. So I think learning to appreciate that the real study is at this moment. It is now, no matter whether one's shopping or reading the Pali. It's always, the study is always at this very moment, no matter what words are used. And this is so important.
Yes, I think it's good to remember that the person who hasn't studied any Pali and doesn't know any Pali terms can still develop awareness and understanding if they have the right accumulations and have heard the teaching explained in a way that's beneficial. I think it's very easy when one is interested very much in the study side of things to get a bit carried away with its importance and forgetting that it's what's relevant to understanding the present moment and not the fathoming out of what the Buddha meant in this sutta or that sutta. That is the crux of the teaching.
Yeah, and understanding that deep meaning of Pali term. Without understanding, it's just the word, we don't know the truth. But when it's the understanding, it's what is there, as is explained.
And it can never be just the dictionary meaning, because the dictionary is compiled according to the understanding of the compiler. It has to be the meaning according to the understanding of the reality. And that's why there has to be a lot of considering and understanding and studying to understand even one word like Vedana or Chindamaya Panya or any reality, because it depends on the understanding, not the dictionary detail or meaning.
For example, Sati and Satipatthana and Satindriya, see, it is Sati, but is it Indriya?
Satipatthana, then it must be Satindriya. But we can't say it's Bala, always Bala.
And with our Sati condition to arise naturally of whatever is there now, naturally, it's impossible to let go, because it is not aware of so natural moment of this and this and go on.
Without that understanding and development, there can never be any understanding of what is meant by Satindriya, however many terms and definitions one has read.
Sati Sampochong, not Satipatthana, and not Satindriya, and not Satipala.
Because there is thinking, instead of understanding seeing, there is thinking. But there is seeing now, and even right now, it can be understood because it's there. And why thinking about things which are going to be forgotten anyway, when there is the chance to understand what is real, even it appears for so briefly, but it does. So I try to catch that. So we know that. And
there can be the understanding of anything like thinking, see. It's not seeing. So, does seeing experience the sense object? Thinking. So what is the truth of thinking?
It's not seeing, it's something which takes something for what is not. It's something which is follows up.
Idea. That's why we learn about each cetasika. Like vitakka cetasika. If it's translated just on and one aspect, it's not enough. So what is meant by thinking, see? If we say that it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, it's thinking. But what things?
Attachment thing.
Is there vitakka cetasika after the seeing moment?
Yes.
See, it doesn't think in words at all. But it's there after that, almost all the time. So we learn a little more about the truth, a little more, in just ordinary, and then the exception of what is more. We can say that after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, there is vitakka. But it does not think in word. It just touches the object. So it arises as the path to sammasankappa.
It must be so different. Sammasankappa from Miccha Sankappa.
Mm-hmm.
Same reality, but...
Yonisomanasikara, ayonisomanasikara, mm-hmm. See? Another function of another chittasika.
Samaditi, micchaditi.
It's different chittasika.
So it's not try so hard to experience it, but to understand it. And who knows what will be the object of understanding unexpectedly. Can it be breath right now? Why not? My conditions.
Samavayama, micha vayama. It's a good example because it same characteristics, same function. But one is right and one is wrong.
And about samasankappa, it touches the right object, it doesn't touch the...
Together with other jetasika, which is wrong, it's wrong. Micha sankappa. Yoniso manasikara.
Yeah. And that's why there's a right path and a wrong path. Same factors, but right and wrong.
And who knows, at moment of understanding about all these realities, will condition moment of direct understanding. When it's there, now it's there, but it's not known. Not enough understanding. But when it's enough, it's like holding the knife's handle. Who knows how much it's worn away. But when it's worn, how come? Each moment of understanding gradually conditioned that to let go because it's so unexpectedly. Just like the next moment, unexpected. But it's not known.
That's the meaning of natural, the natural path. Because it's just... It's there already, it's not trying to catch anything because it's there. It's when it's there.
Like the example that came up, even trying to understand seeing, it's not the natural path. The wrong effort, wrong vitaka comes
Micha,
in instantly.
I think it's Micha. I was trying to find an example of Samma.
With panya, only. Without panya, it cannot be somewhere.
Well, there are kusala moments in daily life. There's sama.
Without panya?
Without panya, still.
Not sure.
There wouldn't be path moments, but in terms of samavayama, for example, or vichavayama, one can talk of them as kusala and agusala, like Yonaso and Ayonaso Manasikara.
And that's the meaning of Miccha Patipatha and Samma Patipatha. And what is Miccha Patipatha?
Well, a kusala, also kusala without...
Even it's kusala, but it's not the path leading to understanding the truth. It's just Miccha Patipatha. Even it's kusala of that level.
Like in the jhana... in the jhana development, samatha bhavana on its own, it's micha. Because it will bring recondition, rebirth.
But micha patipatha, it depends on the context. If it refers to the path with micha ditti, then it's, of course, leading away from the right path. If it's just usala of a lesser kind than insight, it can also be considered Miccha Patipatha, but not in the same way that the path with Miccha Ditti is.
So there are Miccha Patipatha and Miccha Magga.
Miccha Magga is
that's why something is very broad and sometimes it's just very precise.
Sama, usually referring to the path factors, but any kusala is sama because it's not a kusala, but it's not the path factor.
Maybe it's done with, as a practice, there are some.
Many religions believe that if you do, it's enough if you do good to be born in heaven, to, well, which is well, that's the end of the of,
the moment of kusala is different from the moment of the wrong belief. So the kusala is kusala and the wrong belief is the wrong belief. So in the deepest sense, it's all Micca Patipada, because it's not leading out of samsara, but still the moments of kindness or the moments of metta are kusala, different from the moments when one has the idea that only dana will lead to good results, for example.
I think I was reading this. I'll have to look it up again. It's talking about, let's say, other religions, for instance, Christian or Muslim, doesn't matter what religion, when they offer, do they offer to the God, the offering is still not kusala, even it is dana in a sense, but it's done with wrong view, so it's not really dana,
How is it kusala anyway, if it's an offering to God? How is it really dana?
Yeah, okay, got a point.
An offering to the ghosts or one's ancestors that have passed away, is it really dana?
Well, it's just a moment of kusala or moment of kusala. What degree?
Just very little kusala, very slight kusala, like when you give away something you don't want anymore, there must be some kusala, but very little, but different from any wrong understanding.
Because I was saying earlier, there are some religions which really emphasize the dana, so it's part of the practice is dana. Like in the church, you have to give money and that sort of thing.
They're just talking about the bodily act. They're not talking about the mental state, the mind.
Ending of dana, because it's just the appearance, like the money in the bag. But who knows about the jitas at the moment of putting the coin there. Ask your question about the jnanas, vijnana, and
charya. Vijnana charya is seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. And it's charya, so it's like a behavior of these chittas. And there is, must be different from the... Why is it make this distinction between vijnana and, for instance, the purpose for studying vijnana charya is the purpose to understand vipaka and what is not vipaka, what is the result and what is the not the result, I think.
The seeing and the hearing, the other ahichika jitas, are not a kusala, they're just result. But the anyana, the akusala that follows, is the akusala that accumulates and leads to karma. So lobha is different from seeing, but it follows so quickly. So seeing is not the problem, because it's just ahetuka citta, result of karma. But the lobha or any akusala accumulates and causes all the difficulties in life. And then the jnana, the development of insight, the direct insight into realities, is the only way out of samsara. No other kusala mentioned at all.
So what's the general meaning of jnana?
Panya.
Jnana, just the word jnana. Like vijnana, it's not panya. So what's the meaning?
Knowing. Experiencing.
See, by different manners, different levels, with right understanding or without right understanding. That's why we have to understand the root of the word from jnana. What does it mean, knowing? Just experiencing is vijnana. But when it's the jnana, sampayutta and so on, it's not only that.
Achan, it's the same meaning as three kind of jnana, atitamsa and anagatamsa. and Pachupanas Namsa is the same meaning of the knowing.
What are they?
Is Atitamsa is the
appearing
in the past. And Anagatamsa.
Oh, Atita.
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 Mm-hmm. Three kinds of jnana. Anagatamsa.
Can Atita be just Atita, the past? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
It depends on the meaning. Yeah. Atita kana, see? It's Atita too. And vinyana, which has gone. Or more than that, just recall the past and so on.
So it has the same meaning as the knowing?
Yeah. It knows.
It knows.
But in what way? Rightly, correctly, or just know, experience only.
So vijnana just means knowing, experiencing. Yeah. Like citta just experiences the object. But when it's anjana, it's referring to the unwholesome knowing. Anjana to the insight knowing.
What follows seeing is by the accumulations, one's own accumulation of liking and disliking, as well as vipaka. Because, yes, if it's a kusala vipaka, it must be followed by disliking. But there must be accumulation for disliking the object as well. It's not enough for a kusala vipaka to arise. There must also be accumulation of adosa, and that's not attachment at all. It's so different. I'm not sure I'm getting anywhere.
Well, could you just clarify whether you're talking about the kusala and kusala that arises in the same sense door process or later mind door processes?
Both in the same process and in the following process.
Obviously, in the same process, there's no identification of the visible object. It's either just a pleasant or an unpleasant one by vipaka. But there's no accumulated tendency to that particular visible object.
Would you like to understand clearly about a moment of citta? Only one moment in lifetime, never to return, right? No matter what is there, what kind of citta. So what is birth? One moment of what?
Vipaka, a result, one moment of citta.
There must be the reality which arises to experience an object, because it's there, a reality. No one can stop its arising, no one can change it, and that is the truth. There is a reality which arises to experience an object. No matter what word we use, we can use the word vijnana or citta, or mano, manasa, or hatiya, depending on the meaning, different quality or aspects. That's why there must be a reality arising by conditions. But in the beginning, we don't talk about the conditions for the arising of that moment yet. But it's there by conditions. And it's quite different. No one can talk about the degrees of the difference of each reality arising together with it. But it's there as the chief of experiencing an object. When we use the word the chief of experiencing an object, what do we mean? There must be other reality which arises together, which experience the same object, but not as the chief. So what is the meaning of the chief? It experiences clearly the object. Otherwise, it cannot be known at all, one moment at a time. And nothing can arise alone. There must be conditions for it to arise. And that which arises together is the mental factor. At least there must be seven kinds of mental factors for one citta to arise. But at moment of birth, it's more than that. But no one knows until learning about the truth. By birth moment is quite different. By conditions, by the accumulation of experiences in the past, like now. New birth comes from where? This moment can be factors, condition for that to arise too. How much understanding, how much attachment, how much greed and whatever is there, accumulated. So even one moment of birth consciousness is quite different from any other at all. And even itself never arise again in one's life, only once in lifetime. Is that real? Is that no one from the very beginning to understand the truth? That without that which arises to experience an object, it's not birth at all. Not the birth of the tree, vegetable, or anything which cannot experience. But that which arises, no shape yet in the world of human being or animal realm. To be an elephant or an ant, not known yet. Or different realities, rupa, even complexion, or the color of the eyes, or whatever is conditioned. No one can make it arise at all. And this is the beginning to understand the meaning of anatta. It's not permanent. It does not stay long. It cannot be taken for something by dots and dots and dots. That's why it cannot be anything, only that which is experienced when it has touched its base, the eye-based condition, seeing right now. And there must be cetasika arising with it. Learn to understand the truth of one moment at a time. Otherwise, it's only just follow the word. It's not me, it's citta and cetasika, conditioned by karma, arising to be different personality and so on, experiences different object by conditions, kusala karma or akusala karma. That's why we learn from one moment to understand the truth of no one at all. So it's gone. Only one moment. So understanding even the function of citta, the characteristic of citta, the cetasikas, which arises together, condition different kinds of citta to be wholesome or unwholesome. That's why as the birth consciousness is the result of a karma. How many karmas in this life? Which one will condition next life? Moment, unknown. And it can be other karma in the past too, even eons ago. It can condition birth consciousness. The horse Buddha rode out of the palace was born Deva. And he came to see the Buddha became enlightened. See, who knows? They are all realities, different ones by conditions, just arise and falls away in 3 seconds. That's all. Learning to understand that which is conditioned by karma to be born differently is vipaka. So in Pali, it's vipaka, but in Thai, we don't use the pa, but we use the ba. So we use vipak. But in Pali, it is vipaka. We have to pronounce the last syllable too. So at that moment, it is the result of karma. And what is the meaning of vipaka? The result of karma. Is cetasika arising with patisanti citta, the first one who performed the function of patisanti, just after the death moment, instantly? No one can make it change at all. It is the result, so it is vipaka. Only one moment of vipaka, is it enough for such crime or unwholesome deed has been done? That's why it is the beginning of vipaka, to have the result of karma. Learn to understand one moment at a time, and today is birth moment. And it's gone. But karma conditioned the next moment too, not only one moment of birth.
So three more moments, two more moments after seeing, also vipaka, and then another citta, and then it depends on the accumulations, whether attachment or aversion or ignorance or kusala arises, all by accumulations.
And if there's no clear understanding of what's meant by vipaka, how can we know three moments, what are they? Which is two vipakas and one which is not vipaka. That's why learn to understand the truth, which are very various, uncountable, no word at all to use any word for, just only one reality. That's why it's classified by way of different categories, that's all. Whether it is the condition, the hetu, the cause, or whether it's the result of the cause. So by way of birth, there are four kinds. One is vipaka, the result of karma. And the cause is kusala karma or akusala karma. And the other one, it's not the result or the cause, but it's there by conditions to perform the function, which not just for one vipaka, kusala or akusala. Just learn little by little to have more confidence of the truth. And who knows that understanding this can condition moment of understanding what is there ahead in this lifetime or other lifetime.
The main point of understanding about these different realities and different conditions is to understand there really is no person, no lasting personality, just different cittas arising with different cetasikas, like the feeling and falling away instantly, some by vipaka and some by accumulations, many different conditions.
So now, one moment of vipaka is not enough to be result of karma, right? Another moment is pavanga. Exactly the same, but it does not perform the function of particularly arise after death. So it performs the function of life continuum. What for? To condition other moment of vipaka again. That's why we have to understand what moment is vipaka the result and what moment is not vipaka. The four chatis, kamma, kusala, akusala, and vipaka, kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka, and kiriya, which is not kusala and not akusala and not vipaka. So now live, because karma conditioned moment to produce its result, to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to touch, five doorways. In short, just in a moment. So we don't know how long that karma, which conditioned birth, will end. Moment of death can be any time. Just like falling asleep at once, it's not fearful. Just like now, fall asleep at once. Is this true? That's all. Who realize the truth? Otherwise, nobody knows. That's why we understand what is meant by Buddha. So now there's no doubt about kusala and akusala as the cause and vipaka as result. That's why we learn to understand what moment is vipaka. At moment of taste, at very hot taste, what vipaka? See, someone likes it and someone doesn't like it. It does not depend on you make it vipaka, or you think that it's vipaka, but the nature of that unknown, because it arises before a moment of javana, like or dislike that. Uncountable moments in a day, and how many days in life, and how many life, and how many years. The experiences with kusala or akusala is accumulated to condition more moment of kusala or moment of more akusala.
We begin to see that vipaka, in the end, is just like seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and touching. It's just a condition for asava, really, and for what follows. And by seeing that, I think it's by understanding that, even intellectually, it's more one gets more wary about the whole life, maybe the whole situation, which we take for. Because we see the vipaka moment, but we miss everything which follows. We miss it because it doesn't appear.
I think what you've just said sounds a bit like the thinking of those who develop calmness, samatha, that the effect of vipaka is to condition akusala. And that is the basis for actually developing samatha to the level of jhana. But I think we need to remember that not only does vipaka condition agusala, but it has a characteristic to be known. And it's much more important to know that characteristic than to see the effect, the connection between vipaka and the agusala that follows.
Seems like we understand more enough. But in truth, not at all. Because it's only the story of that which is there now, unknown, until it's known little by little. That's why clear understanding of each word which represents a reality has to be more and more and more, until it appears as the object of understanding with direct awareness. For example, right now, hardness is not known. That it's only a reality, that if there is no understanding of it, it's something in mind, not in word yet. How deep it is. So just talk about calm. How calm?
And it's because of clinging, because people cling to the fantasy, the dream about calmness, but actually they don't understand anything about calm. Usually it just means they don't want to have unpleasant feeling, but it's just actually more clinging, but not actually understanding what calm is, or what seeing is, or what hearing is. And the other day when you mentioned, oh, seeing is more obvious than what is visible object, but in truth nothing is obvious at all. And
so what is obvious? Even so, it's not obvious at all, because it's there now. After seeing, hearing is there.
It's like that point that came in the discussion, that one assumes there's no wrong idea of I now, or one assumes that at this moment of discussing about seeing there's no ignorance, but it comes in instantly, completely unknown.
It reminds me of another aspect, because you often talk about being truthful to the truth, and of course being truthful means understanding the truth is the reality. So it's being truthful to the truth is the art of think what one can do is being truthful to the truth. Because even if one understands that he has no understanding, it's not yet being truthful because there is no understanding of not understanding. But it's, as long as there is no understanding, there is no cannot be being any truthfulness to anything.
Many degrees. When it's there, be truthful to it. But when it's not there, how can be truthful to it? Are we dreaming about this room? And then gone.
We are good at that.
Dreaming about the people, about personalities. But actually it's just thinking, just seeing now, thinking now. Usually with clinging, usually no calmness.
That's what we are skillful in. We are skillful in dreaming. Very skillful.
Because the truth is whatever is there is in darkness. Only one moment seeing is not dark. But see, it doesn't appear as it is. That's why it's dreaming about everything continuously from moment to moment as different events, people and things. But in truth, that which is seen also is the object of mind as it is. Because there must be pavanka in between and many moments of pavanka too. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of the difference between the seeing and hearing? That's why no matter in what world and what life that can be experienced is only through six doorways. Well, there are so many things, not just only the object of the six doorways. For example, Hatayawattu. It has to be there for sure. No wish to experience it because there's no understanding of what it's seen yet. So the truth is beyond expectation. Beyond imagination, not light at all. Just learn to understand whether it's true or not, that's all. And that is Panya, which knows what's right and what's wrong. Can anyone say that it's not right? That's why without the teachings of the Buddha about realities, it cannot be known, as it's not there, even right now. What is seen gone, many moments of pavanka, and seeing again, through mind again, very quickly.
One door at a time, just one door at a time. Because it seems like hearing and seeing and everything seems to come all together.
No idea,
about the truth.
The reason we talk about the realities rather than about the situations and the people and so on is because we're already experts in thinking and dreaming about people and situations and what happened in the past and what will happen in the future. We don't need a Buddha to help us conjure up these stories, but it needs a Buddha to point to the truth now. So that's why we talk all the time about the realities now or at any moment, to understand the distinction between the dreams, the fantasies, and the actual realities of life now.
Not just understand the meaning of the word noble truth, but it's now. So noble. It's not known. Until right understanding is there. Sunyata, anatta, each word is so true. And sin is so true, it can be realized, but not by thinking.
The use of sunyata to describe realities seems to be connected to the fact that it's used in the development of jhana. Yes.
The same.
Same, right. But it's a hook for those who are developing jhana to understand realities.
But the one who developed jhana at that moment, no understanding of the truth,
right,
as not self, as much as they can know, is the distinction between kusla and akusla, and see the danger of the attachment to the sense object.
So it's a way the Buddha uses to lead the listener who has that level of jhana
to distinguish the path. One is mitcha patipatha, when there's no understanding of the truth, no matter they can understand the distinction between kusla and akusla.
And even if they can realize the third arupa jhana, the experiencing of nothingness, still no understanding of reality as sunyata.
Yes, well, I think at that time, if they were monks, they were also developing awareness and understanding as well as jhana. Perhaps the jhana is a distraction to the development of insight. This is the Buddha's way of linking the two.
Indicating they're not the same.
Right.
And Alberto, how about your questions?
About one characteristic at a time and the nimitta of the reality. And one characteristic means it's one kind of reality. But now it's more than one reality appearing. It's the shape and form of what we take for not only table but also my voice, and so it's more than, it's just more than one nimitta at a time. Even when there is no sati, when there is no understanding, it's like many nimittas, many different nimittas in at the same seeming seems to be there in one moment, and that is the why the why it seems like there is seeing all day and seeing and hearing in between, not really realizing the truth of the one nimitta.
Is nimitta
many moments of one reality?
Can just one reality be known?
When there is understanding, it must be one, just one kind of reality.
For example, seeing is a reality. Can it directly be known at once after it has fallen away?
No, as a nimitta.
So
only
it appears as nimitta, many processes nimitta of seeing now, to be known as seeing.
But not as hearing, no.
That's why there is the word in Tipitaka, rupa nimitta. Five khandas nimitta. It means that what appears is the nimitta of reality, of a reality. Nimitta of hardness. Just one experience through the set. So, and then puwanka and mind all. See, just that one. Not like this. So it's clear understanding of a reality. That the truth is that it's only that, not as things around or even hardness here. It's taken for hardness, but the truth of it, when it impinges on the body sense, experience through the sense of that very, very tiny and that is experienced through the mind, the same exactly. That's why Vipassana Jnana experience all objects in darkness, even the light, which is experienced at moment of seeing, is that very fast, like a flash. As nimitta too. And this is the truth. That's why no understanding of the truth of anything, because each one arises and falls away by conditions so rapidly. As what appears as appear as nimitta, that's why it's the world of nimitta. We live in the nimitta world.
And I think what you're talking about is described in the Visuddhimagga as continuity and compactness, because things appear as objects and seem to have a lasting presence. And Visuddhimagga explains, I think, that this is because realities are not seen as they are.
Like now, when I'm listening to you, it seems like I can also see you. But that's not the case, really.
One reality at a time actually means the understanding of the nimitta of a characteristic of one reality. It doesn't mean one seeing consciousness or one visible object, but the characteristic of just the seeing or just the visible object, one at a time.
It must, the same nimitta must be known by in the mind or many, many times, the same nimitta, many, many times, to appear to as an nimitta of one reality. This, the nimitta of seeing.
And it's the function of awareness and understanding to have that as the object.
Not to think about...
Not something that we can
form.
Separate. Only Panya can pick out the nimitta of one reality any moments.
Before clear comprehension of the truth of a reality in this world, so many things, no understanding that now so many different things. But when there is the understanding of one characteristic of a reality, it begins to break up those who are together as just only one reality, cannot make anything known as this or that, permanent book and so on. That's why understanding the truth of reality, when it's not that level of panya, it takes what is there as something in mind. Even it appears as just different colors. See? It appears as different color, but in mind it's something. That's why to understand the truth that it cannot be anything, only one reality as it is, that which is seen is only that which is seen. It doesn't mean that the book is there also in Vipassana Jnana to be known, but it's only different realities. Otherwise, how can there be the understanding of different characteristics of different realities, not the same? And what is there cannot arise again. So it's a moment of understanding the world of truth, of the absolute truth. No one and no thing, only different realities. No doubt about each reality. It's just like daily life. Attachment is there, but it's not known as it's there attached. But when it's so clear, no one and nothing, the characteristic of that which is attached is known as it's only that.
And there is letting go, and there is letting go of...
It depends on level of understanding, because before it can be permanently, absolutely, ultimately, eradicated, it has to be makkajitta. See, how very deep clinging is there, so deep that it's there. even at moment of the first vipassanayana, only some characteristic of reality appear, not at will, but by conditions. As now, we don't know what are there, but it appears as just one at a time, because it's there. Now, it's there, not known, but then it's there, known clearly. To know the characteristic of what is meant by unreality. It's not anything or anyone at all. But it's so short, so quickly. But it's clearly, that's why it's not forgotten, to understand when time comes to for condition to not forget what is experienced as it is. But it is not as clear as when it is vipassanayana. It's like something you have experienced, but not anymore. But you still know that the truth of that is just like that. Depends on condition, whether it can condition moment of attend to that characteristic, thinking about it again, and it's not as it is when it appears in vipassanayana, but it's there. Not as before, that it's not known before. Gradually, little by little.
And it's when parinya starts. It's when from the... It's when the other realities begin to be known.
From the very beginning, no doubt about what is meant by direct awareness, satipatthana, or not satipatthana. Because now, when it's not satipatthana, it's never be satipatthana. Because the understanding of truth is not strong enough, not firm enough, to condition moment of just then, it's ready to understand the truth at its degree by conditions accumulated. That's why now is the accumulation of understanding to be firm and firmer, firmer, to understand what is there by conditions, not at will, no expectation for time and object at all. It can be breath, see? Because breath is there, but it's not known now. But when it's there known, no selection. Whatever is there is by conditions. And depending on this degree of understanding too, it can be just from one to the second and the third vipassanayana, and then not enough. But the path leading to have more firm confidence of the truth is it has to be so natural, by conditions, understanding conditions more and more, to let go. So there can be doubt about when the difference between the first vipassanayana and the second vipassanayana. Paccaya parikshanayana, see? Not inward, but what is there by anatthaness is paccaya parikshanayana. Not inward, but it's the degree of understanding about paccaya. Because it appears by paccaya. But there's still doubt. As long as it's not experienced, Nibbana.
Yeah, as long as you were saying, as long as it's not the magga.
And see still. How deeply rooted from eons and eons that even sotapanna magga cannot eradicate attachment to sensuous objects. See how firm. It's very deeply rooted, very firm, very strong. Until it's as usual in daily life, depending on what moment is moment of vipassana, jhana again, or none at all. But whether it's the same level or a little bit more. So truthful to the truth. Panya is the truth.
when it's at the level of magga, it's there is no more clinging to the to the reality which has been eradicated. No more clinging to self.
It's actually clinging to feeling right now. To sanya right now. To
yes,
any.
Yeah. For anyone.
Sankhara right now. See? It has to be known. No selection. Depending on that very moment, my conditions. So firm confidence of anatta. No one and nothing. All by conditions.
Actually, the stages of insight is actually the development of understanding deeper and deeper of Dhammas as anatta. And I don't know why you said that it has to be understanding of the same nimitta again and again, because it's one characteristic of reality. So maybe now understanding of visible object, another moment, understanding of hardness, no rule or expectation that it's the same reality again and again that is experienced, even when it's vipassana and jnana, when one reality after another is experienced by way of nimitta, but it doesn't mean many moments of understanding one nimitta of different realities one at a time.
And even it's there, it's the mark to be known how much or more understanding. It's not as quickly at all. A little bit or more or exactly the same, because the development is not enough.
It is an imita, it is... Like a sign, a mark.
Why do we say nimitta?
Yeah, it's...
Because what can be known is only the five sense door and mind door. At moment of seeing, it's there to be known, not the citta before, the panchatvara vachana or sampatichana or santirana or even javana. Because seeing cannot like or dislike. So it's just the nimitta of seeing to be known that it's separate. It's separated from hearing and thinking and so on. Different realities. And the gap in between is for vanga. Otherwise, how can it separate it? No word, but it appears as it is that it's not the same. It means that there is a moment when it's not there, seeing or hearing. Just to understand this moment openly, revealing the truth, hidden truth, the world of things around people, dreaming.
Like now.
Yeah, and forgotten as soon as death, fallen away. No thought about what has happened before birth, before death. All gone, even yesterday or just a moment ago. It changed the way of living. Not to cling so much as before, but it depends on the accumulation. If it's as that, it has to be known. If it's not as before, it has to be known. The truth is the truth. No expectation.
More opportunities to see one's own accumulations, one's own accumulations of ignorance and wrong understanding and clinging. That's what life in the Buddhist sense, I think, means.
Well, it's seeing realities. We can think of them as one's own accumulations, but they are impersonal realities, dhatus.
It's actually a trap, like the friend on DSG who always quotes the sutta about advice to Rahul and looking in the mirror and so on. And people think about seeing one's own akusala, seeing the blemishes and so on, but actually not one's accumulations at all. One doesn't have any accumulations. There are just moments of kusala and akusala arising by conditions, by accumulated tendencies, but they don't belong to anyone. So if one's looking to find one's own accumulations, then it's just more clinging to the self.
And so it's just what is appearing at the present moment. Of course, they're not someone else's. It's not someone else's dosa or attachment, but the point is that they are conditioned realities that arise by conditions, impersonal dhatus.
Yeah, and they appear so when they appear to understanding. They appear as impersonal, as not self. Yeah, so truth.
Important and deep point, otherwise one keeps looking at one's own accumulations or desiring to change the accumulations instead of just understanding there are only dharmas arising and falling away.
And there has to be the understanding of the difference between intellectual understanding of the Four Noble Truths and the second round, Satipatthana. If we don't understand the difference between moment without satipatthana, just sati at moment of hearing and considering, it cannot be the second round. Because the second round is different from the first round, but it understands directly, more a little bit direct, not direct to the moment of arising and falling away, as the other level, see? Even satipatthana, different degrees, because it's just moment of, it is directly, can be thinking about that which is there, the object, or just attend to that object, or understand it that it's not moment of without awareness. Gradually about that which has been learned as the first noble truth, the first round. The second round begins with direct understanding of the characteristic of that we have known before as not self. No doubt about moment of natural direct awareness, patipatti, by conditions and the understanding intellectually, intellectual level. And no doubt about it's not yet pativeda. Panya is very truthful. Eons and eons, when Buddha was said by the Thipankarana Buddha that he would become a Sammasambuddha, how long? After being very skillful in intellectual understanding.
So loba now, just loba there can be. Wise considering, there can be direct understanding of loba, not anything to do with anyone at all, just loba, and it's gone instantly.
Yeah, it's the only way to let go of it, is by understanding it. Because when you see what it is, actually you're not lost anymore in the story of which loba likes or dislikes. It's just one reality, but so many stories about loba, but just one single reality.
So many stories about I and others, but it's just a dhamma.
So many things to cling.
No consequences.
So many things that loba clings, but just one reality clinging.
So the firm understanding only can let go. the desire or attachment or the wish to experience such and such as it is, as we have learned. Nowhere impossible. It develops by itself. It performs its function when there's enough conditions for it to directly experience the truth. And this absolute truth is so many realities, but what are known only through six doorways only. In life, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and then thinking. While there are many other realities, many rupas, many kinds of levels of different jetasikas, the indriya cannot be the pala. That's why we use different terms.
On the indriyas, because I was writing something about it, and I have to just put a one-word translation. If you had to just give one word for sadha, would you give confidence? One was one word. And for virya, one word, would you use effort or patience?
One word, any word.
Any word. And samadhi, one word, concentration, just any one word, it doesn't matter. Yes. Because just if I'm writing, I have to, in brackets, put one English word, so any word.
I just wanted to thank you for all these great talks we have listened. And I'm really grateful, and reminds me of the Sariputta, who had such a great understanding, and he just listened to a few words and became enlightened, of course, but then he still had great consideration for the Saji who was the one who told him this, just like one sentence, which was enough for Sariputta to enlighten. And you've been telling us so many words, but maybe just a little gratefulness is very little compared to your effort, but still, thank you very much.
Yeah. In Pali, Sathu.
All right.
Yeah.